Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
I'm Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to Elton Jim Toronto's Captain Podtastic, episode 13. Lucky 13. Logging that one in here at WGNplus.com. Thank you for clicking on and listening. Hopefully you stand by for the whole hour. I'm sure maybe sometimes you don't listen to the whole show at one time, but hopefully you do get back to it and you're enjoying what you're hearing. Certainly enjoy doing it. I'm here for an hour. I don't know about you. I'm here for an hour. So I'm doing this. So it's up to you. You can stick around, or you could be, you know, rude and leave. But I'm sticking around. So for next hour, we're going to have some fun talking about the usual, some of the misadventures of Elton Jim, as well as later on in the show, Pop Culture Club with Mick Kaler. And we'll be talking about some interesting topics going on in the world of the pop culture. But first off, I want to talk about something that I saw in the news a few weeks ago, which was very surprising. Did you see the story about the Associated Press saying that they looked over some reports and some data and statistics by the Department of Health and Human Services and from the Department of Agriculture, which I'm not sure where they fit into this. But basically they were saying was, flossing, who needs it? They were questioning and basically saying the rewards of flossing are not all that better than if you don't floss and just brush. And that really took me by surprise, because certainly over the last 40 years at least, when the flossing craze began, and certainly in the 80s, but I would say probably farther back. I wouldn't know how far that goes back, because I'll be honest with you. I never even had a dentist until I was like, I think 20. And of course, I went right from needing a dentist to needing a oral surgeon. But I always had really good teeth. I never had any cavities. I didn't eat a lot of candy when I was a little kid, and I don't know. I think my dad didn't have great teeth, because I remember he had dentures and he had those other little plate things. I remember him pulling those out at, you know, my dad was quite the funny guy. He'd pull his teeth out at parties just to be wacky, you know. His nickname was Chief, and you know, you could always count on Uncle Chief to, you know, to pull his teeth out when things were bored at a family gathering. Hey, Chief, you know, liven things up, okay? And he'd pull his teeth out, you know, and all the little kids would scream, and all the adults would say, "Oh my gosh," you know, and it was good for about 10 minutes until they got into another argument about politics or sports or something. But so I don't think my dad had great teeth, but I think my mom did, because I don't remember her having many cavities at all. I had no cavities at all through grammar school, through high school. And today, of course, you know, to hear that a parent would not take their child to a dentist would probably be bordering on child abuse. But I'll tell you, you know, 30, 40 years ago, it wasn't as strange that if, you know, basically, most people went to the doctor when they needed to go to the doctor, which is probably not a good thing. It's always best to have preventive medicine. But, you know, many years ago, you know, insurance wasn't as good as it is now. It wasn't even as prevalent as it is now. And so people tended to go to the doctor only when they needed it. And it's only been in the last, you know, 20, 30 years where, you know, prices have become so ridiculous for health care that you have to have insurance. But there were times, and if you watch some old shows from the 50s and 60s and even in the 70s, they'll talk about The characters on the TV shows will talk about going to the hospital and paying the bill. Like, well, I have to go pay the bill. If you go to a doctor now, aside from your copay, whatever the heck that stuff is called, you rarely pay your bill. And it's certainly, if you go to a hospital, you don't pay your bill unless you've got a loan out on your mortgage. So it was a different time. So I'm not certainly blaming my mom at all, because there was no need to go. I never had any pains. I got my teeth in very early. As I've said many times before on the radio, I was one of those guys in your classroom that the pituitary gland started early and really powerfully. And so by fifth grade, I already was, I had a mustache, and by sixth grade, I already had hair under my arms. I mean, I was that scary guy, that kid that everybody, which actually did me well, because, I'm really I'm kind of a stocky guy, but, I'm not into fighting. I'm not like a tough guy, but I looked scary and I looked tough. And so it got me through, because everybody just looked at me and assumed I was like this Cro-Magnon caveman who, was this tough guy. And I really wasn't. But I played the part. I let my hormones play the part for me. And I sort of got by. I didn't have to ever get into a fight or anything. But my point is, I remember losing my teeth as soon as I got them, practically, I think. I mean, I was losing teeth, boom. In fact, I was going through an old bin. My mom was such a pack rat. I still have like a jar of my baby teeth that my mom kept. But yet, you know what? No cavities in them. And that gets back to my point. So I never had a problem with my teeth at all. So finally I'm in college and I'm like 20 years old. And I really didn't go to a dentist. I brushed my teeth. Back then, once again, flossing wasn't a big thing. It wasn't the, the dental... the American Dental Association wasn't around talking about flossing at that time. But I brushed my teeth. I did whatever the care was of the day. And it worked. So I never really went to a dentist. I think in second grade I had to go. Because you had to, I think in second grade you had to get a physical and you had to go to a dentist in grammar school at one age. Fourth grade, second grade, one of those. So I did go once. And everything was fine. So I never went back. Until, of course, I was like 20 years old, and I suddenly felt this little pain in my tooth, which I never felt before. And then suddenly, I would go and get a drink of cold water. And whoa, what the heck is that? So once again, being someone that wasn't relatively healthy, never really went to a doctor either. And so, of course, initially, the rule is if you start to feel a pain, go to a doctor. So I started feeling the pain in this tooth, but of course I don't go. I think it'll just pass because I've never been to a dentist. I don't need to go to a dentist. I'm immortal. When you're in your 20s, you think you're immortal. Nothing. Well, I mean, that happens to other people, but it doesn't happen to me. So, of course, I disregarded it and just made sure that when I had a cold drink of water, I didn't have it on that side of my mouth. Problem solved. Well, of course, it got worse. And then, okay, this, I don't even think I've told anybody this, but, who cares? You can't see me. So in order to, because it really hurt. It's starting to really hurt now. And I could feel like that there was like a hole. There was like a little indention. So I would actually take, like if I went to get a drink of water or there was a sensitive, it got sensitive. This is how silly I was. I think back of this. I would take a paper towel, a napkin, and I would wet it, and I would fill the hole with the paper towel. It's a little speck. It's not a paper towel. I would bunch it up and stick it in my tooth, and of course that would provide some temporary relief, but I really was in major denial. And the other side of the coin is, it was kind of like a badge of honor. I was kind of proud of the fact that I never had a cavity, because I would look in the, not that I wasn't looking into the mouths of my friends. No, I mean, but you'd see a kid, laugh or open his mouth and you'd see all this, back then. I don't know what they use now, but I mean, they were always talking about this mercury. I mean, some of these kids' mouths were just unbelievable. with the amount of cavities. It looked like, you know, it looked like a mine. It looked like a steel mine. And here my teeth were all nice, you know, and unblemished. And so that was kind of like, you know, a badge of honor for me. I mean, I made it to my 20s without a cavity. So I used to like to tell people that, well, I don't even have any cavities. So it bugged me now that, you know, that mortality apparently was attacking me just like it attacks everyone else. And I didn't like that because it hadn't done that yet to me. So I did this paper, you know, this little paper napkin thing for a while, and that certainly was not helping as time went on. So suddenly I begrudgingly went to the dentist. As I said, I mean, when I do something, of course, I can't do it normally. When I go to a dentist, I blew right past the dentist. I go to the dentist, he checks my tooth, all my other teeth are fine. He goes, oh, yeah, he goes, you need a root canal. So I go right, I flew right past cavity. So the good thing was I could still tell people I never had a cavity. That was true. The downside was I went past cavity and leapfrogged cavity right to root canal. Go to the oral surgeon. Go to root canal. Have you ever had a root canal done? First of all, it sounds a lot worse. I'm sure in the 1900s or in the early 1920s, it probably was a horrific, and maybe even in the 30s and 40s, I don't know when anesthesia and Novocaine really came into being used. I know they used to use ether, but, you know, thank God we live at this time when, you know, we've got a lot of these painkillers. maybe too many painkillers, but at least, you know, the ones, the legal ones. And, you know, because I'm sure that, because, I mean, you always hear this phrase, oh, my God, it was as painful as a root canal. So, you know, I grew up hearing that phrase about the root canal. And to be honest with you, it wasn't that bad. With Novocaine, nothing is that bad. The weirdest part of if you have to go for a root canal, don't be afraid. It was a piece of cake. It usually takes one or two visits. That's a pain. But it's not a pain. It's just, you know, an inconvenience. We're not talking about pain here. The weirdest part of the root canal, there's two interesting and unforgettable aspects of the root canal process. The first one is, I don't know, I mean, when you get your, you know, you get a the drill for a cavity, I think it's a different kind of drill. Because this drill that they use for the root canal, because, I mean, basically what they're doing is they're taking out your nerve. And I'm sure you know that your tooth goes much farther down than your gums. And so basically with a root canal, they're taking out your nerve. And so they got to dig down deep, and they got to fill that nerve space in. So they dig down deep, and to do that, they've got to drill a pretty nice hole. Well, I'll tell you, I mean, it seems to me that if you're an oral surgeon, you got to be more of a carpenter than a doctor. Because I'm looking up, and I'm hearing, and I look up, and there is just tooth. There are flakes of my tooth just flying in the air. And I'm like, my God. I mean, you think your tooth is hard, but not when they put this drill on it. I thought Lou Manfredini was my dentist here. I mean, I'm just seeing my tooth just explode into the air. So that was the first kind of weird, you know, realization. Because as I said, once again, I'm not even used to sitting in a dentist's chair. And the next thing I know, I'm having this major procedure done. And, you know, your head is back and your mouth is open. And, you know, here's the interesting thing. Because I really didn't know what they were going to do. You hear a root canal, you say, okay, whatever. It's like when you get your car fixed. They got to put a new Johnson rod in. Okay, put a new Johnson rod in. I don't know what you're talking about. Okay, I'm here for the root canal. I don't know what they were doing. All I did know is that he basically made my tooth into powder. I knew that. But apparently, so that when they dig, you know, they gotta, you know, drill this hole, and they take out your nerve or whatever, and then they've got to file it down. And so, he's asking his assistant there for these different size files, and I don't know what they're doing or why. I guess maybe to smooth it out once again. I don't know all the particulars. I just know that he kept getting these files, and you could hear. didn't hurt at all. Once again, did not hurt at all. But the audio, the soundtrack to the soundtrack album to the Root Canal is worse than the movie. Okay? The movie of the Root Canal is easy. You don't see much, you don't feel much. The soundtrack is where you're in trouble. You got drills, and then you got this file. And so you hear him, and he's I saw his arm. He's like pumping his arm. He's not just like, you know, like delicately. He's like, you know, I gotta go deeper. Give me a 7 5/8 or whatever, you know. And it's like, oh my God. Thank gosh I've got this Novocaine. So the sound of the Root Canal was a lot worse. And so once again, it was all done, and I've had that Root Canal now for probably more than 20 years, probably almost 30 years. And so after that, I said, okay, I need to have better dental hygiene, and I should go see a dentist once a year. So I started to go ever since then. And still, my teeth were in good shape. Like everybody, I had some, and so that dentist, that first dentist that I went to said, you know, you really should start flossing. And so, like I said, mid-80s is when I started to floss. And of course, when I do something, then I jump head, you know, head first, complete body. You know, I just don't put my toe in. I go full blown. So when I first started flossing, I flossed 17 times a day. You know, I mean, whatever whenever I was sitting, I just flossed. Watching television, floss. Having something to eat, floss. Riding my bike, floss. Of course, no hands, because I'm flossing. So I just flossed, you know, millions of times. So, I slowed down after that. But, you know, flossing became a regular part of my hygienic routine. And my teeth are in relatively good shape. I have, sadly to say, I've had some other cavities over the last, you know, decades. So, yes, once again, mortality sinks in. But I think I've always done pretty well in flossing. The biggest problem is that my molars in the back are pretty big and they're sharp. And you know that last, when you floss, you know that those last teeth back there? Those are always the hard ones to get. You know, as much as I have been accused of having a big mouth, the reality is I may have a big mouth figuratively, but literally, my mouth isn't that big. It's very difficult for me to keep my mouth open for a long time. Even when I go to the dentist, they're like, could you open? And I'm like, oh, I am. Can you open wider? And I'm like, not really. My jaw bones, I don't have a lot of flexibility. In fact, when I go to the dentist, I have them give me this, that there's like a plastic block that they actually stick in the back of your mouth to force your jaw open. Because I just can't keep my jaw open that long, and I can't really open my mouth that much. So it's very difficult for me to get to that back when I floss. And so that's where I usually have a lot of the plaque buildup. So I have been flossing. I try my best, and I have had some times where they've actually had to, you know, go in and do a deep clean. But certainly my dentist, and I've had another dentist for the last 10 or 15 years. The other guy, you know, retired, and obviously they constantly talk about flossing. First question, are you flossing? Have you been flossing? Floss, 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 floss. So I'm shocked to see that that the Associated Press would come out with this report that says, based on the statistics, that those who just brush their teeth regularly, there's not a very, you know, pronounced difference between those who floss and those who don't, as long as you brush your teeth. Now, what I have done, I'm still going to floss. From what I understand, I remember the first time I went to that first dentist, the reason why I flossed 17 times a day was because he was old school. He was an older guy, and he's like, plaque is like barnacles. You got to blast it off then. And you don't want barnacles in your mouth. And I never forgot that phrase. Plaque is like barnacles. And I even told my new dentist that. He goes, well, he's kind of right. It is like barnacles. And they don't come off easy, the plaque. So, but, you know, I mean, to me, now I don't know about you. I like to think that I'm a pretty good flosser. And let's talk about it. Those of you who do floss, you got to admit, there is nothing more fun and nothing more satisfying than when you're flossing and you wind up getting a big chunk from some place that you had no idea. Now, you just brushed your teeth, right? Because what I usually do is I brush, I floss, and then I brush again. So I just brushed my teeth, and I think I'm doing a pretty good job. I'm digging in there. And then I get in there with the floss, and all of a sudden, you know, you do that little clip, and then you look, and you're like, whoa, where was that thing hiding? And just think, if I hadn't found that guy, then when I eat the next time, there's even more there. But isn't it satisfying when you're flossing, when you get that? I mean, I know it's disgusting. If you're listening to the show, don't listen to it at dinner time, okay? This is 8 p.m. and after, okay? Today's show, 8 p.m. and after. In fact, what we might do is put a disclaimer at the beginning of the show. You know, this might get a little unappetizing. And it makes sense, too, because then while you're listening to it at 8 o'clock after, you can go and floss and find a big chunk of food like I'm talking about and be all excited, and it'll make your night. This is what I have to look forward to now these days. Find big chunks of food in my teeth. Don't get old, folks. So, yeah, but I'm sorry. Whether you're 12 or you're 93, I still think there's a really cool, weird excitement about finding a nice chunk of that floss. But here's the thing. So, as I said, it's really hard for me to get in the back of my mouth because, as I said, my mouth is not that big physically. Unless my hands, I do have these sausage fingers, so maybe that's difficult too. But I can't get back there. So a lot of times the floss will break. So the dentist says, look, you know, we're always having to go in the back there and really dig out the barnacles, if you will. So why don't you get those? Now, have you seen these new things? I say new because they're new to me. Maybe they've been around for a while, but there are these little mini picks that have a little piece of floss in them that you hold in your hand. And this way you can get back in there without having to do the whole floss thing, holding both sides of it. So that has actually helped me. And now I'm able to get farther back. And when I went the last time, my teeth in the back had less barnacles. Fantastic. So to hear that flossing doesn't, unless they're exaggerating, unless the dentist, I mean, once again, I'm not a dentist. I mean, are they exaggerating the harms of plaque? Do they just want you to come in two times a year so they can go on vacation, you know, and pay for their vacation? I don't know. But all I know is there seems to be less plaque, and it seems they have less problems. So I'm going to go with the dentist on this. But to hear that you don't need to floss kind of shocked me because I'm like, when I started, last two or three months, I've got these Glide little picks. They're green, and they're supposed to have some menthol in them. I don't really taste that, but they've got this little piece of floss on them and a little holder for your finger, and you can get farther back there. Okay, So I told you, I first brush, then I floss with the string, then I brush again. Now I have this little pick thing, so I have to change my routine. I brush, I floss with the string, then I get this little pick thing, then I'll brush to at least, you know, get a nice little, you know, toothpaste feel in your mouth, and then follow it up with a little scope chaser, you know, to just finish it off. Well, unbelievably now, this little pick thing is helping me apparently get into spots where, you know, it's like Star Trek. I'm going into places I've never been before. You know, I mean, this pick, I'm, you know, here I am. I think I'm a pretty good flosser, right? And I've just told you how exciting it is when you find a nice chunk of food on your piece of floss. Okay, I've just flossed. I get this pick. I go in the back. Uh-oh. Big chunk again. I'm like, wait a minute. So I could see now why maybe this the plaque has been building up because there's I just must have... you know, I'm missing spots. So I use the pick now, but I'm very surprised to see. Now, the American Dental Association has said we still recommend flossing, and I'm not surprised they would say that. I don't know if it's a placebo effect, but I was just really surprised to see that that they would say no flossing. I don't know about you, but I think flossing has done good for my teeth. This pick thing has certainly done good for my teeth. And I have to say once again, to add a little spice to my life and have a little fun, there is nothing like flossing and finding a nice little chunk of food to make your day. And we're back here at Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. I am Jim Toronto, the aforementioned Elton Jim. And I want to talk just very quickly. So I was going through some old pictures the other day, and I found a photo of myself when I went skydiving. And I almost, you know, it's happened so long ago, I almost forgot about it. And I looked, I actually have a videotape, which I have to go and bring, I have to have somebody, you know, do that transfer thing and put it on DVD. Because once again, this was, you know, 2001, I found out. I looked, thank God I marked the videotape. They give you the free videotape afterwards. That's how long ago I went. It was June 13th. I hope it wasn't a Friday, because I hope I didn't jump out of a plane on a Friday the 13th. I hope I have more sense than that. But, yeah, it was June 13th, 2001. So this year, 15 years ago, I can't believe it. I only did it one time. I had a great time. I don't know why I haven't done it again. I had an amazing experience, and I had no fear. The irony is I have a fear of heights. If I am climbing upstairs, if I am on a high balcony, if I am at other places, I have a fear of heights. However, when I was at this in this plane at 10,000 feet, and they said jump, I had no problems jumping. I've always wanted to skydive, and I said I'm just doing it. In fact, as I've said before in the radio, I actually just went on a whim one day. I didn't even tell my wife I was going, because I think she would have gotten a little worried. And so I went sky, and just imagine, I mean, I know it probably wasn't a good thing to do, to just do something that potentially dangerous, obviously, without telling a loved one that you were doing it. But I thought that she would get very nervous and be very apprehensive and would not want me to go and make a big deal about it. So I said, let me just go and do it. And, you know, a lot of times you're better off apologizing than asking for permission. Okay, so that's what I did. And in fact, I was home, you know, I came home. I did it in the early afternoon, came home, and she came home later in the day, and we still had a VCR at that time, and I said, oh, here, check this out. What did you do today, honey? Here's what I did. And put in the tape. And she looked at me like, oh, my God. I think first she was a little mad that I did that without at least telling her. But then she came to, you know, appreciate the experience I had. But I think it took her a while just to say, geez, you know, you could have told me. And I probably should have. But I, you know, I figured that she might be a little apprehensive, and I don't know. So anyway, I had a great time. I jumped out of that plane without a thought. It was something I always wanted to do. And I think the reason that it was so easy for me to jump out was because I'm afraid of heights, because I do, and I hear about this all the time, it's part of the fear of heights, is that I feel like I want to jump. That's why I had no problems jumping out of that plane. I when I'm up on a balcony or a high thing, and I've been to some of the highest points in buildings around the world, and you know, I mean, I've done some pretty thing. I've gone up to the, you know, the top of the Duomo in Italy, and the Eiffel Tower, and some of these other places, some of these big churches in Rome, and all around, and yet, you know, it's scary for me. Although I jumped out of a plane, figure that out. But the reason it's scary is because I feel like I want to jump. And I think that the fact that I had a parachute on my back, and then, of course, the first time you go, it's a tandem jump, so there's an instructor. So I had, you know, I had both a parachute and a guy strapped to my back. So what can go wrong, right? So I think it was that sense that, look, I've got a parachute, I've got a guy on my back who also has a parachute. So if something goes wrong here, then it was just my time. And we certainly do hear about that stuff. But I had a great time doing it, and so I thought I would share that picture with people. The interesting thing about it is, which I didn't expect to have become such a controversy. So if you go to my Facebook page, it's just Jim Turano, T-U-R-A-N-O. I don't know if you hit Elton Jim. It might work as well. But certainly Jim Turano, T-U-R-A-N-O. And I posted it, I believe, on August 10th. So just scroll down and find it, and you'll see this picture of me skydiving. But here's the thing. And I did notice it, but I didn't think it'd be a big deal. And I did notice even when I went there. They give you a suit. You know, they give you the jumpsuit. Literally, it's a jumpsuit. Well, I don't know why, but I got a pink one, right? Now, they're all different colors, but they gave me a pink one. I don't know if they were trying to just, play a subtle joke on me, because forever I would be in this pink suit. Or maybe they knew that I liked Elton John. I don't know. I wasn't Elton Jim at that time. But anyway, so I've got this pink jumpsuit on with the parachute. And actually, it looks pretty good because it actually blends well. It goes well, if you will, with the blue sky and the white clouds. So it's a nice color coordination. Now, the funny thing is that the guy on my back who, jumps, five times a day probably, if not more, he was just like wearing shorts and a T-shirt. That's what I think is funny. He just had like a helmet, shorts, and a T-shirt. And they make, us wear these, jumpsuits and, the helmet and the goggles and the whole thing. But anyway, so I put this picture up on my Facebook page. And it's so funny what people will comment about. Because I figured if there was going to be some snarky comments, it would be about, oh, there you are with a guy on your back. Oh, you look like you're smiling because you have a guy strapped on your back, right? I mean, that would be the joke. No one made any kind of joke with the double entendre of the guy on my back, okay? But they did. Any comment was about my pink jumpsuit. And there was actually one person on there that was defending it and saying, why are you making fun of this so much? And of course, people, come on, why would you wear a pink jumpsuit? Once again, I did not choose the pink jumpsuit. They, based on your height and your weight, whatever it was, there was a list of them. And the guy said, here, and he just handed me one. And then at the time, you don't want to look like that you're, uncomfortable about wearing pink. And I'll be honest with you, I wear pink all the time. I mean, I know that I mostly wear black, but I have pink shirts. I wear pink shirts quite a bit. I've got pink dress shirts. I wear them with suits. So I'm not adverse to pink at all. And I like it. And I think it's a cool color, and it certainly stands out. And so when he gave me the pink suit, I certainly did think of it like, oh, geez, there's all the macho dark black ones, or the khaki, the military fatigue green, or just, some dark colors or something. And then there's this pink one. And I was the only one with a pink. So I don't know if now in retrospect, I'm wondering if they were just having fun with me or not. And they all were laughing like, did you see the pink suit we gave that guy? Because those guys probably get bored too, right? So anyway, but I put this picture up and everybody's commenting on the pink suit. So take a look at it. Go to my Facebook page and please feel free to friend me if you're not already a friend on my Facebook page. But take a look and see what you think. I think it actually looks cool. But I can understand why someone might make a comment about it. And it's all in good fun, so I don't take it any offense to it. But it was funny how no one was talking about the obvious joke of the guy strapped on my back. They were talking about, and it's not just pink, folks. It is it is pink. I mean, it is a very fluorescent, bright pink. And you'll also see I have this weird expression on my face. I have my mouth open and my teeth clenched, which, again, doesn't look good when you consider I have a guy on my back. But I'll tell you, the one thing that at least I found happening, and I don't know, and they didn't really, you know, they gave you about a 45-minute little course about what to do. There's not a lot of preparation for this. They basically show you a video, strap a parachute and strap a guy and take you up and you jump out of the plane. You know, you'd think there'd be a heck of a lot more, but there really isn't. But I guess there really is not much to it. But one thing that they did not mention to me, unless it was just me physically, I don't know. But I found it hard to catch my breath. You know, the air is thin at 10,000 feet. I'm not sure what the official, you know, thing of that is, but I just found it very hard to breathe initially and get used to that. And so when they have another guy that jumps and takes the picture of you, and that's how they get the picture. And I just remember breathing, trying to catch my breath, and that's why my mouth has this kind of weird face with my teeth exposed and this kind of clenching look, because I was really having a hard time catching my breath initially. But it was a great, great experience. And I, as I said in the little caption to the picture, I might be getting the 15-year itch. I might just have to do that again. I can't believe it's been 15 years. And I'm surprised I haven't done it since. But, you know, that's one of those things, too, that I think you might want to do with another person, and I haven't really found anyone else that wants to do it. I haven't really asked that many people, to be honest. I'm certainly glad I did it. If I don't do it again, I still am happy that I did do it, because it was something that I've always wanted to experience. But I don't know. I might be getting the 15-year itch to do a little skydiving once again. So if you look up in the sky somewhere, I think I went to Sandwich, Illinois. So if you're in the Sandwich, Illinois area in the next couple of months, if you look up and you see a pink object coming down fast, just yell, "Hey, Elton Jam!" Here at Elton Jim Toronto's Captain Podtastic. And of course, it's time for the Pop Culture Club. With, of course, charter member of the Pop Culture Club, Mick Kaler. Hello, Mickster.
Hey, it's the only club I'd ever want to belong to, okay?
I don't think you've been asked to join that many other ones either, though. Let's be honest.
That's true. I don't even get into the what was the one on Andy Griffith, the Red Door?
Oh, no. Yeah, well, yeah, actually, if you remember an earlier episode, there was the Esquire club.
Yeah.
That's where Barney and Andy wanted to get into.
Yeah, and Barney was dying to, because he knew it would be a good way to get women.
We're going to be members. Me and Andy going to be members of the Esquire Club.
You know, Esquire Club is for us, you know.
And Floyd's like, "Oh, Esquire Club.
That's big. That's big."
Yeah, but what was the other one? The Fellowship of the Golden Door?
Yeah, the Golden Door. Or the Simpsons might have been the Red Door, because the Simpsons did one like that, too.
Yeah.
And I think in the Golden Door one, I think Howard Sprague was getting blackballed, I think.
Yes, because Howard Sprague's domineering mother did not want Howard hanging around with the rabble of a men's club. Because she wanted him home with her. And I don't even want to explore the Howard and Mrs. Sprague relationship. But
that's true.
So she told Goober that you know, Howard's father was a gambler.
Right.
And so Howard, you know, she kept him away from gambling because it was it could possibly be in his DNA. And that's all they basically did at there was, you know, they told jokes, fooled around and played cards.
That was it.
Yeah. And so so Goober, of course, blackballed Howard Sprague. Big episode. That was a major episode.
Sure.
So anyway, well, here's the what's interesting about what's going on in the pop culture world this week. So Mick and I have over this summer, even before summer, we were talking about back in March.
Yeah.
We were talking about the Ghostbusters movie, and it was already getting a lot of controversy because it was a female reboot, and there were some guys on. Some men's groups apparently online that were bashing it, saying, how dare you have an all-female Ghostbusters and all this stuff. So there's a lot of controversy. And ultimately, we basically felt it just doesn't look like it's a good movie.
Yeah, and the other thing is, I think, to be honest, I think the studio and the stars turned this into an issue about misogyny against women. More because I never heard of these men's groups talking about like the Mayberry, you know, the Golden Door and all that kind of stuff. I don't think there were men's groups saying we don't want women as movie stars to make us laugh. I think the bottom line is that people protested it because, as we've talked about before, in fact, it's funny because Ghostbusters was just on last week on HBO a couple times, and I watched most of it all the way through, and. It's an okay movie.
Yeah, I mean, we were saying that before, that you know the original Ghostbusters wasn't that great of a movie, and I saw it too because they've been playing it quite a bit on different movie channels, and
right.
It was exactly as I remembered it. It was good for about the first 45-50 minutes.
And then it dies.
And then when all of a sudden the effects come in and the Stay Puft guy and every, you know, Rick Moranis turns into a lion, and what's her name turns into Zool, and what the hell is going on here? I just want some.
That was all Aykroyd stuff because Dan Aykroyd believes in all that crazy stuff. But my point about the original Ghostbusters, the reason people cherished it was, okay, it was a long time ago when we were a lot younger. There was the Ghostbusters insignia. Remember, that was at the time when the red circle and the slash
right.
was like a big thing.
Yeah, so that was a very cool. That was a very clever. That was a very clever logo, cool ghost.
Yeah, for months you just see the logo just pop up in newspaper corners with nothing else. And then the other thing it had was the song. Now, Ray Parker Jr. stole the melody of it from Huey Lewis's I Want a New Drug, and he had to pay for that.
Yeah, he did.
But everybody remembers that video and that song. So you take that, and you're young, and like I said, the sign, there's a lot of romanticizing about the original Ghostbusters. Now, let's move forward. Ghostbusters 2, yes, it made a lot of money because everyone thought it was going to be as good as Ghostbusters, and it was a piece of garbage.
Yeah. Well, and then the other piece of that, too, don't forget, there was a very successful Ghostbusters cartoon that little kids watched.
Sure, exactly. That, and plus the action figures.
Yeah, that.
And all
yeah.
That.
I mean, I never forget. I bought my my guy. I mean, now he's 30, but back then I bought my godson. He was about maybe 3 or 4 years old, and I bought him the Ghostbusters Firehouse for Christmas. Oh my God! I thought he was going to die. I mean, he started shaking when he tore the wrapping paper off. So there certainly, as you're saying, there certainly is a nostalgic and an emotional tie.
Right.
To that movie more than to the quality of the movie.
Exactly. But, so then, like I said, then Ghostbusters 2 is a piece of garbage. And so when, you know, and I maintain this, if they would have brought, even if they would have brought the original cast back, you know, Murray and Aykroyd, and if Harold Ramis were alive, and then Ernie Hudson, and Rick Moranis, if they had done that, people would still be, this isn't a good idea because your second one was terrible.
Well, here's the point. So we see this now. That there was this all-female reboot of a very well-known franchise, and It did not do well. I mean, I know it's made over $100 million, but it didn't even win. It didn't even come in first place its opening week. It got beat out by that animated pet movie.
Yeah, the pet movie, exactly, which was on its second week.
Yeah, so. And then it never really – so even though I'm sure that people will argue, oh, well, it made $100 million, whatever it's going to make, you know, with overseas, blah, blah, blah. I know it's not going to make $400 million to make its money back, and it certainly – whatever. It did not get into the zeitgeist of the pop culture world and did not become the hit of the summer.
No,
by any means.
It did not. And so, and again, of course, the women who want to say, you know, we want to go with the empowerment thing, which is fine. You can't hold this up as a tentpole and say, hey, guess what? It was because we had women in it that it was great.
Yeah, no, I didn't go to see it not just because it had a female cast. I didn't go to see it because it looked like it was a pretty bad movie.
Exactly.
Now, so, here's part two. This week, what's the new announcement?
The new announcement is, okay, you've got Ocean's 11. There was the original, you know, movie from the 60s with Dean Martin and
Frank Sinatra, Peter Lawford, Sammy Davis,
you know, all these guys.
Joey Bishop. I don't know how Norman Fell got into that, but he did.
Yeah, they needed 11 people, so they threw him in the mix.
Roper.
There was Ocean's 11, and then in 2001, I remember it was like late in the year, George Clooney and Brad Pitt and his buddies got together and did a remake of Ocean's 11. And after Ocean's, and I saw that one, it was okay. Then there was Ocean's 12. Then there was Ocean's 13.
Yeah.
Now comes the news this week. We have an Ocean's 8 coming, but it's not with men. It's an all-female cast.
So I have two questions.
Okay.
First of all, how come only 8?
Don't know. Maybe, you know, Miley Cyrus and somebody else they couldn't book them, so they had to settle for 8. But it's going to have Sandra Bullock. And
so she's going to be like George Clooney.
Both Oscar winners, okay? Yeah. Anne Hathaway. Did she win an Oscar? I can't remember.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, she did.
For Les Mis, yeah.
I always get torn off with Anne Hathaway because she also co-hosted an Oscars, which was an absolute
dud. Oh, my God. Yeah, that was with James Franco.
Yeah, they should have actually taken her Oscar away with that. They should have been like, no, you're disqualified now. You lose this, okay?
Just to even things up.
Rihanna, because Rihanna is going to be in this movie, and we know that Rihanna is quite the actress. I know she's got a lot of movie credits and film credits and awards to her name.
You know what's
already.
Weird? You know what's weird about that? Rihanna was also announced just before this announcement. That because I watch this show. I don't know if you watch Bates Motel, which is the TV show on I think it's A&E. She's going to play the Janet Leigh role.
Right.
As the woman that gets killed in the shower.
So she's transitioning to movies.
Yeah, where did this come from now? Where is she now? Big actress now?
I guess. And then the other, Mindy Kaling is also going to be in the Ocean's 8 as well. So they're going to have 8 women eventually.
So I think she's 7 and 8. Oh, wow. Is that? Oh, I'm going to hear about that comment.
Hey, there's no complaints for me. She's the one who's made her career and made her bones on being the fat girl that, you know, it's like, hey, I'm a person too, okay? So that's her problem, not mine.
But, I mean, so you know what's so funny is that, I mean, I don't know how far along this film is. I don't know if it's been in pre-production.
I think it's been announced. I don't think it's been made yet. It certainly hasn't been made. I think it's been announced of who's going to be in it.
Well, what's so ironic is that you've just seen that – that there was so much flack. It's almost as if to say, screw you.
Right.
We're going to keep doing this concept of rebooting, men-driven movies with high-profile female stars just to show you. You think that, you wanted to, you know, get mad at Ghostbusters? Well, screw you.
Right.
Because from a business standpoint, why would you do this? You just saw that it didn't work with Ghostbusters.
And again, going back to Ghostbusters, it's because they were trying to revive a dead franchise.
Literally.
And seriously. I mean, Ghostbusters was, and so is Ocean's 11. Ocean's 12 and Ocean's 13, I know they did okay at the box office, but they didn't do gangbusters. And even in the second and the third, I saw the second one too, Ocean's 12. And you could see Clooney winking at Pitt and Matt Damon winking at Elliot Gould and all that. And I'm just like, okay, we get it. You're getting a lot of money to be in a silly movie.
This new one is going to be called Oceans. It's not like they're going to just have the high priced caper.
Right.
They're using the Ocean's name, right?
Right. Exactly. Ocean's state. Now, here's my point, and I thought, after you and I talked the other day, I thought about this, and this is the real truth about this. I know a lot of women, you know, we live in the female empowerment age, Sheryl Sandberg and the Lean In book, and of course, Hillary Rodham Clinton running for president, getting the nomination of Democrats. The biggest music sellers are Adele and Taylor Swift. I get all that, and that's fine. Okay, that's all great. But anyone who tries to celebrate this Ocean's 8 thing as a female empowerment thing, they are totally wrong, because the women are being thrown scraps. They're being thrown leftovers. They're being thrown, you know what, we got this dead franchise. See what you guys can do with this. It'll be the same old thing, but we'll put you guys in it because...
Well, you know, here's the thing, too. You have to remember that the original Ocean's 11, as we said, which came out in the 60s at sort of the height of the Rat Pack era...
Right.
With, as you said, you know, Frank Sinatra and Sammy Davis and Dean Martin and Joey Bishop and Peter Lawford, they were the Rat Pack. They lived in Vegas.
Yeah.
They played in Vegas. They used to do shows at the Sands. In fact, the story goes that they would be doing, they were filming the movie while they were performing in the nightclub at night. They would literally be doing the movie during the day. They'd be doing shows till 2 or 3 in the morning, and they would be back on the set at 7. Half the time they were either drunk or hungover.
Right. Yeah. It was a whole lifestyle thing.
But yeah,
now we get to see them play a caper movie.
Yeah, that was the lure of that movie. If you watch the movie, it's a paper thin plot. It's kind of an interesting little twist on it. But for the most part, the appeal of the original movie was you are basically seeing at that time the biggest entertainers in the world, as well as you knew that they were these carousing guys. You heard these legendary stories, and you basically saw them playing themselves, even though they had character names. You know, that was Frank Sinatra.
Right.
He wasn't Danny Ocean.
Yeah.
And so that was the lure of that movie, and it really is kind of a nice little time capsule snapshot of those swinging 60s just before, you know, the whole rock era took over, where you still sort of had the razzmatazz.
Right.
Going, and that was what the appeal of that movie is, because on its face, it's not all that great of a movie, but it is fun to just watch them, you know, have that. You could see it. It's a real chemistry. Now, when George Clooney and Brad Pitt and those guys got together, I don't know how much they hung around in real life, but that certainly was the idea that, okay, we'll sort of, you know, even if it's hanging around, you know, while we're filming it, we'll at least have some kind of a retro kind of hang. You know what I mean?
Sure.
But this sounds as if they're saying, okay, we got to take Sandra Bullock, who is kind of like the, you know, the grand dam of the old. Well, I mean, older. She's in her 50s, but you know, she's the one that sort of, you know, the younger women, the younger actresses look up to now. I mean, certainly
she's more established.
Yeah, there's Meryl Streep, obviously, but in terms of maybe actresses in their 20s and 30s, they look at Sandra Bullock and say, hey, here's someone who has had a good career. She stood for what she, she stood up for what she believes in, and she's done good work. She's won an Oscar. She's, you know, adopted a kid. She's done the whole spiel. So she is kind of viewed as kind of like the trailblazer for the younger set. And so I can understand why they want to do this movie, but I have to tell you, I'm not trying to be sexist here. The sound of as you just said, the original ones with George Clooney and stuff, those weren't that good movies. Even the original, once again, if it wasn't for the personalities of Sinatra and Sammy Davis and Dean Martin, that wouldn't be a good movie. This one sounds like it's dead on arrival.
Yeah, it certainly is. And again, getting back to the female end of things, because again, there's a lot of power that women have, and I'm fine with that. But attach yourself to something that is worthy, and not just, and it's in some ways, it's actually tokenism is what's happening. It's like, well, we're going to show that, you know, we're giving empowerment to women. Let's attach them to this dead, you know, on arrival project.
Well, why can't they just come up with their own? Why can't it be a new caper? Why can't it be, you know, the Vegas robbery,
or Crazy Chicks in Rio, or whatever.
Yeah, you know, Diamonds Are Forever. I mean, you know, start their own thing and don't, you know, it's almost like I said, it's almost kind of an FU.
Yeah.
To like, we'll show you men that we're going to take over your things. Why bother? Like you said, not only is it kind of almost tokenism to say, hey, we have to just rehash old concepts. It's almost like a shot against them. But wouldn't you want to do something original? Why would you want to step in someone else's shoes and already have those immediate comparisons before the movie comes out?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. And again, this goes back to, and we've talked about this before, about the rehashing of old TV shows and movies and game shows and everything. There are very few original ideas floating in Hollywood. So then they're like, because like I said, if you and I spoke up at some press conference for this and said, why isn't there a movie that just involves women, like a Bridesmaids or whatever, and then some people say Bridesmaids was like the Hangover
right.
for women, whatever you want to call it, but it's like, but it was its own vehicle. Why isn't somebody writing a vehicle that is just the women
right.
own it, and it's not an offshoot, it's not leftover scraps like this is?
Because, and you just made a perfect example. Whether in reality, in terms of the quality, in terms of the plot or whatever, Bridesmaids may have definitely been a female version of The Hangover, but it was not The Hangover 3.
No, exactly.
It was not a Hangover reboot. It had its own name. It had its own identity. It had its own characters. It had its own plot. It had its own relationships. And so there's nothing wrong. And that's why that movie was a hit, because, yes, it certainly echoed what Hangover was. But at the same time, it was its own entity.
Yeah,
same thing here. Why don't you? I could see Ghostbusters. It's pretty hard to do a movie about carrying a proton pack and not call it Ghostbusters.
Right.
But if you're going to do a diamond robbery or a bank robbery, it doesn't have to be Ocean's 8.
No, exactly. It just and I think part of that is, again, like I said, it's a slap at women. As much as women will say, oh, this is great, Sandra Bullock and Anne Hathaway and all these people doing this, what the guys can do. And it's like, yeah, but again, it's this dead franchise. It's nobody really cares about it. And in some ways it's insulting the women, because it's like, hey, if you've heard of Ocean's 11, well, we got a female version of it now. And it's like, no, that doesn't ring real good. That really rings like you need a little boost up on everything, and it's still not going to succeed.
Well, here's the other part. Now, I hope they don't get cutesy with this, because as I said, the lead actor or the lead character is a character named Danny Ocean.
And it could be D-A-N-N-I.
Well, no, I hope it's not. I hope they don't call her Danielle.
Right.
And then call her Danny.
Right.
Because that would, I mean, just at least give her a different name.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to give her the Ocean name, because that's where Ocean's 8 will come in. But don't call her Danielle or Danny, please. I mean, at least try to give her some kind of an original character.
Yeah, it's just, like I said, it's just, it's an unfortunate idea, and I think this one will do even less than the Ghostbusters, because, again, like you said, Ghostbusters, people hung on that moniker and the proton pack and people trying to relive these glory days. The first Ocean's 11 movie, the reboot, came out in 2001. It's 15 years ago.
I mean, who even remembers? And once again, the other thing, I like George Clooney. He seems like he's a good actor, certainly, and he seems to be, and he's got a good sense of humor. He, once again, very dedicated to causes he believes in, and he seems to be, he's successful and he's enjoying it and he makes no apologies for it.
Right.
And so, I mean, I like the guy in that respect. But let's be honest. I mean, this guy has really done an amazing job when you think about it. He basically took the popularity he had from ER. And made that transition to films, which at the time was not all that common.
Right.
And if you think about it, he is viewed as one of the top stars in Hollywood. And yet, aside from Ocean's 11, which it took him 10 other big stars, he has never had a blockbuster.
No.
I mean, he almost killed the Batman franchise.
Yeah, had it not been for Christopher Nolan, on the Batman tombstone, it'd be George Clooney's face.
I mean, people forget that he was Batman.
Yeah, you know, on a terrible movie.
Yeah, and so I mean, but even though he's won an Oscar, I would say if you went up to 10 people and asked them what movie he got an Oscar for, they wouldn't know it. And if they did know it, I guarantee you, one out of maybe only one out of 10 people saw the movie,
right,
that he won an Oscar for, which is Nick.
Syriana.
Very nice.
I love that movie.
But my point is, I got to hand it to the guy because he's really, you know, he's taken just that kind of star persona.
He's a movie star, known more for being a movie star than an actor.
Because he really hasn't been in terms of a George Clooney movie. He's been in very successful movies, you know, that Brother, Wherefore Art Thou?
But he really
wasn't the star of that.
He was just part of an ensemble.
Yeah, he was an ensemble in that. Most of the movies that he's been in, you know, he did, you know, Out of Sight, and he did the other one with, that Iran movie, The Three Kings.
Yeah, Three, which was a good movie, but again, another ensemble. And then in Gravity, he's really an afterthought in the Sandra Bullock's movie.
No, that's not a George Clooney movie at all.
No.
So aside from Ocean's 11, where he once again had to find Brad Pitt and Matt Damon and other folks. So, aside from that, he's done pretty good in sort of, raising his star, I think, a lot higher in terms of what he's actually done on paper.
Right, there hasn't been as much merit as there have been for other people.
And once again, he took Ocean's 11, which was already a movie that they just updated it.
Right.
So that wasn't even an original, an original piece of work too.
Yeah. Well, on the other side of the coin, I'm wondering. They've had Charlie's Angels, the TV show. They've had Charlie's Angels, the movies. When is there going to be a Charlie's Devils with three guys?
Well, and how about this? No one's saying anything, but so apparently in Ghostbusters, I didn't see the movie, the new one, but their secretary
is like Hemsworth,
but he plays like a real good looking himbo.
Yeah.
So how come no one got mad about that? That they used a man in a subservient role,
right?
And made him look stupid. There was no problem with that though, I guess, right?
No, I guess not. Well, and again, the men just let that lie. And again, if it was a woman, playing a big busty secretary to these girls, it'd be a different deal. And one more point on the male female thing: when is there going to be a Sandra Bullock, Melissa McCarthy remake of Ishtar? Why don't we just attach ourselves to that? You're going to attach yourselves to dead franchises. Let's deal with that one.
Hey, if men could fail at it, why can't women?
If
men could make a flop out of a movie, then why can't women either?
I just wish that, and you always hear those stories, there's no good roles for women, and they got to do more for women in Hollywood. And I totally agree, but Ocean's 8 is not helping it.
No, that sounds to me like that's already got flop written all over it. We'll see. Okay, I'm gonna try to keep an open mind, but once again, remember where you heard it first here on August, in August of 2016, we already predicted this was going to be a flop.
We'll kill that snake before it's even hatched.
Well, I want to thank Mikayla not only for joining me on this week's segment of Pop Culture Club, but I also want to thank him for joining me on the other 12. And unfortunately, at least in the near future, based on some scheduling commitments, you won't be able to join us as much as on a weekly basis as you used to here at the Pop Culture Club.
Yeah, that's right. I'm going back to doing some teaching in the classroom, so I'm looking forward to that. But at the same time, it kind of intercedes on the times as far as when we can do things. But I'll be a Pop Culture Club member emeritus or whatever they call that.
You are a charter member. You have the gold card.
Right.
You were the first one. You and Dean Richards, so far that's the only people that have wanted to apply, but we will continue to do that. I'll try to find some other people, but certainly no one will be able to match your gold card status. So thank you, Mick, for taking the time and help launching Pop Culture Club and really making it whatever it is, you've helped make it that.
I'm proud of that. My pleasure, pal.
All right, thanks a lot. That's Mick Kaler. And I am Jim Tirano here at the Captain Podtastic. Once again, having a good time here for the last hour. Thank you so much for joining me on WGNplus.com every Monday, a new episode. So just remember, when you're bored or when you're not bored, you just want something fun to do, You go to WGNplus.com, and you go on the main page there. Go to the entertainment section, and then you'll see Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. I have my own landing page. And you click on there, and not only will the most recent episode be on, but also all the past episodes if you want to binge listen. And so this is Elton Jim Toronto's Captain Podtastic from the end of the web to your screen.